obviously you've been dry a long time, but do you ever get tempted? Do you ever think, oh, I might just try one glass?
Oh, God, yeah. I think that's what makes probably me different from a normal person who might have ruined their life from drinking. You know, you might have somebody out there who's hit the bottle and partied hard and had a few consequences, and, you know, a family member might have said, you know, if you carry on drinking, that's it, you're out of our life, and they've stopped. Whereas for me, that would never have stopped me. It might have stopped me for a week or a couple of days, and then I would have thought, I would have got selective recall and thought, yeah, no, they never said that. I was imagining it. But I think the difference is I don't get cravings as I did in the early days, but I do have thoughts, mad thoughts. Wouldn't it be a great idea, you know, to go and get absolutely drunk? I've never thought of having a drink because I've never had a drink in my life. My thoughts have always been, I'd love to get absolutely out of my head. Like when my mum was dying, you know, she'd got days to live, and the pain of having to nurse not only your mum through a terminal illness, but also nurse my dad who's got Alzheimer's. And I just did not want to be in my head feeling those feelings. So of course I thought, oh, I'd love to be out of my head. But the reality of it is I've stacked up enough evidence to prove that that's a luxury I can't afford. So I go to a meeting instead. I go to a meeting, I have a cry, I share with my friends, I tell them about the pain I'm in and the situation I'm in. And they don't do anything to make it better, but they might give me a hug and, you know, say, do you want to go out for a coffee? And come on, we'll have a chat. And, you know, they might stay with me a bit longer, or they might ring me to check in on me. It's just, it's a whole different world. You get to feel life in recovery.
How will you go about teaching your children about drink and drugs?
I'm quite open about it, really. I mean, I'm careful in the language that I use, because they're not of an age where I want to reveal too much, only for their own protection, not for mine. But I am open. We do talk about things, but I want them to be able to experience life. I don't want to be one of these, for me personally, and I think everyone has a different view on how they're going to take it, but I'm always very much, I want them to be able to go out and do stuff. I don't want them to think, oh, because my mum's this, that they think that they can't drink or they can't experiment with different... I understand that kids experiment with drugs. It's not part of everybody's life, but it is a big part of quite a few children's lives as they grow up. But I just want to be open and just for them to be able to talk to me about it. And if they do have a problem, then I'm the greatest example of when they want to do something about it. And I know I can't stop that or control that, you know. Mm. So
that's hard though, isn't it, as a parent, because all you want to do is control it.
Oh, no, it's like your worst fear, but you know, there comes a point where all you can do is educate your kids. And that's what I've done with my kids. You know, I was fortunate not to have children during my drinking and using days, so I had my kids in recovery. But because of the nature of the job that I do in the recovery community, my kids are very aware that recovery is real. And for me, that is the greatest gift I can ever give them. Whatever happens in their life, you know, they're going to have highs, they're going to have lows, they're going to do what they're going to do. I know from my own example that I can't control that. But the greatest gift that they have within them is that they have seen recovery in action.
Do you think there is a genetic link to addiction?
I think it's twofold. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that genetics do play a part. It's like nature nurture. You know, there's a lot of experiments and studies done where they've taken children out of an addicted family and put them into an abstinence family, and those children have gone on to use. You know, so it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other. I think the most important thing that we teach our children, and it's got to start early. In my experience of working with, I get a lot of kids coming to me, being brought to me by parents, and it's not so much drink and drugs that they're coming to me with. They're coming with other addictions like cyber addiction, gaming addiction, screen addiction, sugar addiction, there's a lot of addictive tendencies out there. We just need to educate our children that there is a solution and what that solution looks like for them.
And can you still be around people who are drinking?
Oh yeah, of course you can.
Don't you just find them really annoying though if you're sober?
I do, personally. Yeah, I really do. I'm going to be honest. I don't mind being around people who've had a drink, you know, or having a bit of a giggle. But after a while, it gets really tedious. But now I don't mind. We go out all the time, dancing, boogieing, karaokeing. I'm the first one up. We're often the first ones up on a dance floor, and the last ones off. And everybody else, you can see them keeling over. But when I drank, I always wanted to dance, and I always used to wait until I was absolutely drunk out of my head, and then I couldn't dance anyway. I'd be falling all over the show.
Did you worry about how giving up drinking would change your personality, if you like, or how you were perceived by other people?
Yeah, I think so, because I relied on it. I thought it made me into a more gregarious person, more outgoing, more funny. And I used to often drink before we were going to an occasion, so I'd get in the mood. So, yeah, I was really worried about that. But as the girls have spoken about, you become more real, and it's they're seeing the real you. And now I dance. Well, people think I'm drunk because I dance so madly, and it's just the freedom, the absolute freedom it gives you. So when I've had enough, I can drive home. You know, I can say, see you later, because they have got to that boring stage. They've gone one over the eight and they're repeating themselves and getting louder. And but it was scary at the beginning, yeah.
And definitely. Wake up the next day without a hangover.
I will never have to have that again, just for today. Mustn't be too complacent, but yeah, that's a great feeling.
But when I did stop drinking, I remember Kev was in the Priory, and we went and sat down and had a family meeting with a therapist present, and one of the things that Kev said to me was he really didn't think I was much fun without drinking me, and I was, honest to God, I was so hurt. It needed saying, because that was one of his fears. One of his own fears was that he wasn't going to be fun without drinking him. But it really did. It really did strike a chord with me. I still remind him of it every now and again. I said, "Do you remember?"
And what about friends? I mean, did friends say, "Oh, Clay, you know, you were such a laugh when you were drinking"?
Yeah, and that was one of the main reasons that when I first stopped drinking, I didn't really knock about with mates that I used to drink with, because even my own family, I remember going home, because don't forget I came from a very working class, very heavy drinking family, and I remember sitting in my dad's garden and my dad saying, "Oh, for God's sake, have a drink, you miserable cow." And I just thought, oh, he just doesn't know. But he kept on and on, and then my brother came out with a pint in his hand and he's looking at him, waving it around in front of, "Go on, just have a sip." But they didn't know.
In meetings there's lots of different types of people, so you can get, you know, your everyday, wake up in the morning needing to have a drink, shaking, you know, that sort of thing. You get your binge drinkers, so people can go very long periods without having a drink, and then once they pick up a drink, it could be a 4 or 5 2-week bender, month bender, you know, that sort of stuff. So I think it can be very different. There's not like this one size fits all, but we talk about power, choice and control, don't we? So it's that lack of power, lack of choice, lack of control. So none of us choose to be the kind of people that we ended up being. We don't choose to be like that, but there's no choice in the matter. There's no like what you were saying, "Oh, I'm just going to have one drink," or "I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be able to control it." So at some point, choice comes out of it. We can't just go, "Right, I'm not going to do this," and be able to stick to that. We don't have a choice in the matter. And then we lose all power over how much we're going to drink. So it's that thing of picking up one, and you just don't know where you're going to end up. You cannot guarantee that you're going to stop after the third or the fourth, or that you're not going to end up in the middle of nowhere. We don't know. And I think that's what can really categorise the difference between someone who maybe likes getting drunk and a bit messy to somebody who is an alcoholic, is that thing of like, they cannot, as an alcoholic, I could not guarantee if I pick up a drink what's going to happen to me. I just don't know. I really don't know.
Now you're in recovery, if you spot somebody close to you, family member, close friend, and you can see those signs, would you ever sort of approach that subject and kind of broach it with them and say, look, do you think, or would you just kind of not?
I think you find that, I've found in my experience that they approach you. There's a saying that we say, attraction rather than promotion, and I think that has really worked with, I know with friends of mine, I don't think they're alcoholics at all, but they kind of see how good my life is, and through that don't want to drink as much.
It sounds like your faith has been an instrumental part of your recovery.
Yeah, faith plays a huge part, and I never dreamt that. Never dreamt that.
It's interesting because you do find that that tends to be quite a common theme in a lot of people's journeys. And I suppose the criticism of that from some is you've simply replaced one addiction, if you like, with another. That addiction being God, faith, religion.
Well, you do hear that a lot. And I often say to people, look, you know, and some people say, oh, it's like brainwashing. I've got to be honest, at the end of my drinking, my brain needed washing. It was not a good place to be in. I totally agree. You possibly do have to replace one substance with another behaviour. But the difference is, going to fellowship meetings isn't going to kill you. You know, and that's what I say to people. I've never heard of people dying of going to too many meetings, or, you know, or having God in the life, or, you know, and some people are frightened to go to meetings because they hear this, oh, it's all religious. The fellowship isn't a religious organization. You do hear the word like higher power and God, but and for me that was a big put off at the beginning, because I was so not religious and I was so not spiritual. And somebody said to me, after a couple, I cried for 2 weeks when I first started going to meetings, because I so didn't want to be there. I was weeping and wailing, feeling sorry for myself. And somebody came up to me and they said, is it the God thing that's upsetting you? And it was really the God thing. I thought that I knew there was something that was going to trip me up, and it's that mention of God. Mm. And it was a young lad, he was younger than me, and he just put his hand on my shoulder and he said, do you see people sober in these meetings? So I said, yeah, I do. So he said, how do you think they got sober? I said, they've helped one another. So he said, yeah, but there's something in this room, isn't there, that's helped them. They're helping one another, and that power comes through them. He said, look at the word God as good orderly direction. Don't religiousize it. Don't make it something that's going to put you off. He said, keep it simple. You know, look at good orderly direction. Do you need good orderly direction in your life? And I had to put my hand up and I was like, yeah, I do. You meet people and they look like that the broken people, you know, they're scared, that they're, you know, that they can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And then the next time you see them, you can see there's a light in their eye. They've got a twinkle. They've got a bit of hope. They're like, I've not had a drink and I don't know how that's happened. If ever I was in doubt of miracles, I see them daily. I go to meetings.
Would you ever be able to stop going to meetings, do you think?
Well, I think I'm a phase, like I've been around a number of years, and I wouldn't necessarily say I need to go to meetings. I can go through, I work, I'm a single parent, I've got two young children, I can't get out to meetings all the time. I have other things that I do, like I meet with friends who are in the fellowship and get support that way. So I wouldn't say that I'm in that where I need to go, but it's just become part of my life. I do want to, because I really feel like I've been given a purpose to talk to other people about my journey and my experience, because that's what happened when I first started going to meetings, was that there were people there who had some time clean and sober who were there to help me, and that's how the fellowship kind of works. If we all just got okay, mm. and thought, oh, I don't need to go to meetings anymore, so I'm not going to go, then the fellowship would have just completely fallen apart.
You want to kind of give back.
Yeah.
What was that first meeting like? I mean, we see it on the TV, we see it in films, you know, we see people, so they stand up, my name says I'm an alcoholic. Is it like that in real life?
It's, you do... People do introduce themselves with their name and the statement, I'm an alcoholic. But it feels normal, it feels comfortable and natural. The very first meeting I went to, as I say, I heard everybody, it felt like they were directing their stories and their messages to me, although they weren't. I did actually share at that meeting, God knows how, because I'm a nervous wreck when it comes to speaking in public. But I said, oh, I don't know if I'm an alcoholic. Or not, but, and then just sort of said whatever I said. And a woman came up to me at the end of the meeting. She just put her hand on my arm and said, you're not here by accident. And then on the journey home from that meeting, I stopped at the traffic lights. I looked in my rearview mirror and I said, I'm an alcoholic, and promptly cried, because as you do, it's emotional. And it was just like, whew, I've admitted it, I've done it, I've said it. And... yeah, it was empowering.
People might well listen to this conversation and think, oh, maybe I am. Like, question their own use of alcohol. How do you know if you are an alcoholic or not?
It's a very personal question, because there's so many people out there with a variety of needs. But in answer to that question, I would say, how much is alcohol costing you? And I don't mean in the monetary sense. I mean, is it costing you your family, your relationships? You know, have you been in trouble at work? Have people noticed it? Have you lost your license? Have you had to go to the doctors because of a variety of reasons that might be connected to your drinking? You know, look at the bigger picture. You know, and be honest. We've all got to start somewhere. And the thing is, with recovery, you can't start your journey into recovery unless you hold your hands up, be honest and be brave and be vulnerable. The only requirement to go to a meeting is a desire to live life without alcohol. Nowhere in the literature does it say you have to own up to being an alcoholic, because it's a process. You find out about your drinking as you go along. So for anybody who's in any doubt whatsoever if they're a drinker, if they're an alcoholic or not, go to a meeting and find out. Listen for the similarities, not the differences.